You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It is only in recent years that it has become ubiquitous among children and teenagers. Today, I spoke to Life Education Trust Chief Executive John O'Connell about the concerns surrounding the youth vaping culture and the significant role school life has on its popularity. I started by asking O'Connell why he thought vaping has become more popular in primary and intermediate schools.
I think it's certainly been pretty prevalent in secondary schools, certainly from what school leaders are telling us. And I think it's the natural thing of younger children seeing what older children are doing and wanting to be cool and follow that. So an element of peer pressure, and I think it's only inevitable that it started to spread down into younger people.
Anecdotally, smoking is considered cool and trendy. Do you think that vaping has now taken on a similar identity or role?
Yeah, I think, you know, smoking numbers have been going down with young people for a long time, as has binge drinking and things like that. So I think, you know, a lot of younger people have decided that smoking's not cool. And I guess vaping is the next trend. And I think it's real mixed messages because on the one hand, vaping is a safer tool to help people quit smoking. And so there's that confusion between, oh yeah, actually vaping's okay because it's not as dangerous as smoking. So I think that's creating quite a bit of confusion for young people when they're looking at vaping versus smoking.
So would you say that it is important that young people aren't vaping?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything that you're putting into your lungs like that is inevitably going to have problems. And I think, you know, vaping is still in early stages, so in terms of long-term effects, you know, that information is still coming together. I think where school is getting really frustrated, though, is the impact it's having on kids skipping class and kids hiding in the toilets or whatever. So it's the interruption to school life that is creating a lot of the problems that schools are having to deal with and the distraction and the time that takes up.
And, yeah, what powers would they have to potentially restrict vaping on school grounds?
They do now. So the legislation was changed at the end of last year. And so vaping is now pretty much under the same rules as smoking. So where you're allowed to smoke and where you're not, and sales to under 18s and things like that. The problem is that up until then, there was no regulations. You know, so you could vape in public wherever you wanted to, basically, and the sales weren't restricted to under 18. So that's really what allowed it to get underway and for it to be seen as something that was safe and okay. And it was that delay in getting the legislation into place to treat it the same as cigarettes that's, I think, let it get underway as it has.
Are there any aspects to this legislation that you think still need to be developed further in order to not have 10 to 13-year-old students potentially vaping?
I think it's early days. I mean, it's a transition stage for the legislation to come in, so it's got a number of things yet to come into play. But, you know, it's obviously a good step and it's going to address a lot of the harm. It's just the issue that it took 2 years for it to come into play. That's the problem. But I think long term, it's just a lot of work to do now to try and unravel, I guess, what was seen as something that was cool and easy to get hold of and there was no limitations.
And as you were saying before about the peer pressure that happens between the students at school, would you say that this has to do with its popularity among the youth?
Oh, I think there's always, you know, it's a real challenge when you're young and you're trying to fit in and whether you belong and you want to be seen to be part of a group and not part of a group. And so whether it's vaping or whether it's other things, there's always those challenges that young people are having to face. And, you know, if we can eradicate vaping, the issue that it is now, in 5 years' time, I'm sure there'll be something else. So there's always going to be challenges. And I think that's just part of being a young person and learning life.
Do you think that vaping has an effect on youth's mental health?
I think it's very early days. You know, vaping has actually really only been around for a short time. And so those longitudinal studies and impact on people was, you know, yet to come into play. But certainly, you know, anything that you're putting into your body, and if you start looking at the chemical makeup and the impact on lungs or the delicate adolescent brain, which is still going through those developing times, then there's got to be risk for sure.
That was Life Education Trust Chief Executive John O'Connell speaking on the youth vaping culture, specifically in primary and intermediate schools.
We wanted to get another perspective on this story, so we reached out to the Cancer Society. On the line, we have Shane Nahu from the Cancer Society. Kia ora, Shane.
Kia ora. How are you going, Nahu?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So, to start, how much do we actually know about the health risks of vaping? How bad is it for you?
Okay, well, what we know about it is that it's less harmful than tobacco. So, you know, tobacco is your number one. Actually, don't go there. It's, you know, kills 2 out of 3 people who use it if they use it the way it's intended. Now, we know vaping is less harmful from that. Some suggest that it's considerably less harmful. What we don't know is the long-term consequences, because we actually, it hasn't been around long enough to really determine those.
How much research is being done into the long-term consequences? Do we simply just have to wait a few decades till we truly know?
Well, I think there's a lot of research going on at the moment into vaping products and the effects. And, you know, there's a mix of whether they're happening through industry or they're sort of more independent. And but I think you can start getting some idea of modelling of some of those effects now, and also understanding what the ingredients are is probably the most important thing, because either we know what those ingredients impacts on health are, or if we don't, then they can start looking at those and extrapolating some results. So I think it's, I would say that there's a level of research which clearly shows that it's less harmful than tobacco, but actually we still don't really know the long-term effects. The one ingredient we do know, though, is about nicotine. And we do know that nicotine is a really addictive substance. So those products which have nicotine in them are likely to increase people's addiction to nicotine.
Is there any sort of plans to tie in vaping with smoke-free 2025, or is there some sort of other campaign potentially against vaping?
So at the moment, I think the government's approach is to achieve smoke-free 2025, there's a range of things, and actually we quite like the smoke-free action plan, which has been put out for consultations just recently. Some really bold measures in there. The role of vaping in that is that vaping is one form of one product which helps some people to stop smoking tobacco. So actually we want to be able to allow those people that will benefit from vaping to stop smoking to be able to access vaping products. However, we don't want people who don't smoke to start using vaping, because they've come from basically a zero risk to some risk. So the nuance is, how do you get that mix right? And that's the legislation which has been introduced around vaping at the end of last year, regulations to come through. So we've got to get those regulations right to make sure that people who are going to benefit from stopping smoking through vaping can do so, but actually people who don't currently smoke don't start.
Do you think you could potentially distinguish these two groups, so people who are getting off cigarettes and people who are just starting straight into vaping? Could these groups be distinguished through some sort of legislation?
I'm not quite sure how you distinguish them through legislation, but I am sure we do want to actually set the parameters right, so that we have the product available appropriately in respect to those two groups. And so that's the legislative argument, I suppose, if you get it right because the legislation that's come through, for example, is that previously, before they passed the legislation, there were no actual real rules around vaping at all, no legislative framework around it. Now there is. And within that, they've gone, there's no marketing, no sponsorship. They're going to have specialist vape stores which can have a wider range of products, whereas your dairies and more convenience type stores will be able to provide only products with 3 different types of flavours. So there's some efforts around there to legislate between those two groups or support the availability so it's accessible in the right way.
And these efforts, do you think they go far enough?
Well, I think you're still landing on some of the regulations. I think we've got to monitor them really well, and we've got to have evaluation to make sure it's doing what we're doing. Because we've also hearing some of the concerns, which I think you spoke with Life Education Trust a little bit earlier as well. We've had people approaching our staff around concerns around vaping in primary and intermediate schools and wanting to get some advice around that. So I think we've got to be really, really on... clear that we need to be monitoring this, and we need to make sure that if we need to reset it and make it tougher, then we do so.
In my own experience, just walking around university campus or something like that, I mm-hmm. see far more people vaping than smoking yep. cigarettes. Is there much research into, or like sort of projections of how popular vaping is likely to be? I'm not sure if you know something about that.
Yeah, well, I I think we definitely need more research in New Zealand. We sort of see a little bit happen overseas jurisdictions, and you've got some sort of different responses of what's happened in, say, like the UK and Europe and the US. We know that, you know, there was a while there where the US was just going ballistic around the stuff of young people, but they've reset their parameters a bit as well. But we need to be monitoring that, as you said. Between the differentiation between smokers and vapors, I haven't seen any of that, but I think we had the 18 surveys, which gives us a snapshot of the younger school, high school age, if you like. But we also know that actually it's probably some of your university age colleagues, and that where there's still a great uptake of both tobacco and not sure around vaping.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today, Shane. I really appreciate your time, and talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, Noah, and keep up the good work.
See you later. That was Shane Nahu from the Cancer Society speaking on vaping health risks and youth vaping in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.